Blog Talk Radio.
Chris Chandler, hit one deep to right center. That ball is out of here. Holy cow.
Down goes Frazier. Down goes Frazier.
It's over the wall. It's a home run for Bucky Bench.
Fumble. Giant center. Lawrence Taylor struck the ball.
Today, I consider myself the luckiest man on the face of the earth.
5 seconds left in the game.
Over.
You believe in miracles? Yes!
Good evening and welcome to Hard Rocket Sports, live from beautiful Romero Court Studios in Monroe, New Jersey. I am your host, Tom Florio, and I want to welcome you to another week, another show for this week of my Hard Rocket Sports that I bring to you every week. A little two-hour get-together where we talk all things sports-related and music-related in the hard rock and metal world. First, I want to start off, guys, to tell you I apologize. I'm a little under the weather this week. If you can probably hear my voice, I'm a little, stuffed up. I got a little allergies working, so my apologies. I'm also under the weather computer-wise. For some reason, I cannot log on to the show through my computer. The board works, everything is great, but I can't log in to talk through the microphone, so I have to go through the phone again. You know, should eliminate any problems with me getting bounced off the air again, but the quality is not great. So on two levels this week, we have quality problems. My health is a little down, and my computer's a little down. So hopefully you can bear with it. Hopefully we'll get to it and have a great show. Lots of stuff, lots of stuff going on in the world of sports, especially football. I'm pumped. I want to talk about it. I got a couple of quick announcements. One's a press release, and the other one is an announcement. As you're all aware, ad nauseum, I have been promoting the Lifestyles for the Disabled benefit show on September the 20th. In which there are about 8 island bands showcasing their abilities. Joe Ganzis, this is all run by Joe Ganzis and his super rock and relief organization. The problem is the venue, Bootleg Manning's, for some reason, has pulled the plug on the show. But Joe, being the genius, hardworking guy that he is, has found another home for the show on September 20th, and it will go back to its pretty much its original home, although under a new name. Fifth and Vine, formerly known as Rhythm and Brews, located on the corner of Buell Avenue and Richmond Road in the Diamond Hill section of Staten Island, will now be home to the show once again. I know the first 3 or 4 events Joe had was at the old establishment, it was under the Rhythm and Brews moniker, and recently the bar has gone under a tremendous renovation through the TV show Bar Rescue, and it's come back. I believe it's more of a wine bar / piano bar, maybe a little more upscale than people who have visited in the past, but nevertheless, the owner graciously has given Joe the run of the place for the evening of September the 20th, so the show will and must go on. So just to again reinforce, September the 20th at 5th and Vine, corner of Buell and Highland Boulevard, Buell and Richmond Road. Starting at 4 p.m., going till about midnight, you will have your pick of 8 of the top island bands, including one I play with, Dante's Inferno, who will go on about 7:15 at night. Please get out there, support the cause, support the bands, support me. I'm asking you to come out and support me. You love me? Come on out. Grab spots. 45 minutes. You know, we got a nice set going from Bad Company straight to Judas Priest. Good mix of songs. I got a talented group with me led by Jim Galicchio, our lead guitar player. Giuseppe Dante, our singer. Paulie Shanks on the drums and Kevin Nolan on bass. You know, we're probably the rookies of the bunch, but we'll give you a good show, and I guarantee you, I know coming on right after us is Kill Van Cull, Those guys have been around for about 30 years. They never fail to entertain. So please, folks, September the 20th, please come out. If nothing else, come out and support me. It's a $20 donation per person at the door. It's for a great cause, and I'm asking everybody to get out there. And if you can't come see us play, come out to see the early bands. Come see the late bands. You won't be disappointed, I promise you. And we'll get to check out a new establishment and support the island. So I want to get that out. I'll probably revisit that again later on, but I want to hit that. I got a press release. This hot off the presses, folks. I got a press release out of Monsignor Farrell High School, of all places. Folks, here at Hard Rocker Sports, we leave no stone unturned. We go right for the pros, right down to the high school level. And if I could, I'll get right into the Pop Warner leagues as well. I want to give you everything. So this was released by Farrell Football today. Here it goes, folks. Monsignor Farrell announced today that Mike Clopsy has been named the starting quarterback for this year's varsity football team. In a prepared statement sent out by the team, head coach Jim Bradley says, Mike has come up through our system, and we, the coaching staff, are all in agreement that he is the quarterback who lead us and lead our team now and possibly into the future. His blend of natural athleticism and football IQ, rare for a kid of his age, make him the best choice for the position. Folks, take it from me. I've watched Mike play since he's a young kid. I was lucky enough to see some underground tapes. It's DVDs from this past season. And Mike's a tremendous football player, and I think he's got a brilliant career ahead of him in the high school and college level. I only hope, after watching the film, I noticed, I'll give you a quick scouting report, Mike moves well. They run the read option at the school. I think he makes great decisions. I noticed he makes every throw. I throws from the pocket well. Very poised, great feet in the pocket, and throws very well on the run. I don't have a real big criticism of Mike's play. I didn't, and I will bring this up to Coach Bradley if I can get him on the air. I didn't like the way he was handled last year and how their all offense transformed during the season. You know, they didn't give those kids enough rope to at least make the mistakes for themselves, and maybe in another shot go into a little in-depth. But I wish Mike and his team much success. I think if you know Mike, he won't let anybody down. And good luck to him. And I'm hoping that I could snag that young man for a weekly spot this year. Come on, talk about last week's games. Come up and give me a little scouting report on this week's games. And if I can negotiate that through his agent, then maybe we'll get Mike on the air a couple times this year to talk. I know they open up this week, 5 o'clock at home. Unfortunately, there's no release on who they're playing. But if you got time, get out to Monsignor Farrell Saturday at 5 o'clock and check out the Farrell Lions opening game and Mike Clopsy's inaugural start as quarterback for the Farrell Lions. Good luck, Mike, from all of us here at Hard Rock and Sports. All right, so now we've touched on a little bit of my personal stuff. We've touched on Staten Island High School. And now let's get on to a couple of topics before I get to my main topic, which is the football season. I noticed in the paper today, and I know, folks, we've touched on this once before, and maybe you're tired of hearing about it, but the Daily News put out an article today about first off, 10 greatest Giants, 10 greatest Jets of all time. And again, I guarantee you that the guys who wrote these lists, and it's Ralph Vacchiano for the Giants, I'm sure he never saw Roosevelt Brown play. I guarantee he never saw Mel Hyam play. I'm pretty sure he didn't see Andy Robustelli play. So why he's putting these guys, especially Mel Hyam, you can't even go to a stat. So are you telling me he's the greatest because he's a Hall of Famer? If you're writing a list, tell me you're writing a list, and you give me the list based on what you saw, not what somebody else is telling you. I can't stand it. I have to say, folks, I know you're probably tired of hearing it, but if you're going to give me a list, it's got to be who you saw play. I can look at the list myself and say, oh, well, he's a Hall of Famer, he must be great. I don't want to hear it. So I'm telling you now, stop with the lists. I can't stand it because you don't give me good ones. Second part of that list is the Jets. Now, folks, I know the Jets have only been around since the 60s. Titans, and all of that. But when your team list at number six and the sixth greatest Jet in your history is Mark Gastineau, it's time to shut the doors, lock it up, sell the equipment, and move on. If all you can produce in 50-odd years of football existence is number six, Gastineau, I got to tell you, it's time to shut the doors. The rest of the list, I mean, obviously Namath and Don Maynard, Curtis Martin, who, again, didn't play his whole career there, but all right, yeah, I got it. Klecko, agree 100%. Same thing with Revis. Revis played 5 years for the Jets. Is he really going to be considered the greatest Jet of all time? Again, best corner in the league, no doubts. But you're only there 5 years? I mean, is that really the guy? You know, Winston Hill I never saw. Wesley Walker, great player, no problem. Freeman McNeil, great player, always hurt, never came through the big season. Always started out great, but as the season wore on, he wore down. And I watched him play, and he was right in my wheelhouse. I thought he was a good, good player. If you want to put him on your list, all right. But if I got to look up and see Mark Gastineau, who was the most one-dimensional football player of all time, I got to tell you, folks, it drives me crazy. And if that shit is, don't put on a list. And Manish Mehta, stop. Because if this is the best you can do research-wise, I got to tell you, don't put it on a list. It's not worth it because it makes me ill that this is the 10 guys you came up with. So I got to get that off my chest because it bothered me to no end. Had to call my boy Mike Clopsy up today and give him that because as under weather as I am, I'm fired up about lists. I love my lists. And then I noticed today on the back of that page was the Daily News is starting this whole blue ribbon panel. And there's some big names on it. Ernie Accorsi, Carl Banks, Chris Carter. Why Chris Carter? I don't know. Peter King, Kim Jones. Really, Kim Jones? Boomer Esiason and Bill Parcells, Mike Tannenbaum. There's a few more names on that list. And they're going to be coming up with the 50 greatest football players of all time. And what I noticed to the left was a list of 50 players to begin with. What I didn't realize is that this list was printed in 1999. So I was getting a little upset over it. But I have to tell you now that I go back and look at this list, and I'm afraid of what they're going to come up with now. But here's my beef on this list, and I have two beefs right off the bat. There's more, but I'm going to give you two because we're not going to spend the whole day on this. I'm going to wait for their new list to come out, and then we're going to explore it. I had no problem with Jimmy Brown being the best football player of all time. You know, I never saw him play. You know, I wouldn't put him on top of my list because, again, I only do lists where people I saw. But from what you read, he was, you know, from everybody talks about, no problem. But I don't care how many Super Bowls he won. No way in the world Lawrence Taylor is not the second greatest football player of all time. The guy revolutionized the game. He changed the way the game is played. You're not going to tell me that he's not number two. And I don't care how many Super Bowls Joe Montana won. He's not the second best football player of all time. Maybe he's top five. No problem. Top two? Absolutely not. Forget it. Absolutely not. He played on great teams with a great coach. You're not going to put him at the top two people. You want to put him at five? I can live with him at five. Rice maybe at three. Unitas, go ahead. You know, and the other one I got a problem with is they had Sammy Ball listed at seven, Slinging Sammy, and they had who I consider in my top five of all time, Walter Payton, listed, let me see, number nine. How do you have Walter Payton behind Sammy Baugh and Don Hutson? I don't get. Walter Payton was not the greatest running back of all time. Was not the greatest runner of all time. He was the best running back I ever saw, and I'll tell you why. Walter Payton was the best running back I ever saw because he did everything. He caught the football, he blocked, and he was the leading rusher when he retired. The guy gave 150%, never went out of bounds, took every hit, played on some of the worst teams. Walter Payton didn't have an offensive lineman who made a Pro Bowl or pro until 82 or 83. So he went seven, almost 9 years of his career with nobody on that team and still turned out to be one of the greatest players of all time. And probably the best runner of his generation. There were some good ones then. You can go back to the Billy Sims and Dickerson, and I'll take Peyton over all of them. They were all great backs. Peyton was the best of all of them, and he deserved to be in the top five. And no way in the world you're putting slinging Sammy Baugh at number seven. First off, I guarantee you nobody on the list that made up that list ever saw Sammy Baugh play. So, stop. Daily News, you better do a better job on your new list, because if you don't, I'm gonna blow up your spot. All right, so that's something I got out there. The other thing I want to talk about, and I want to make this real quick, is I heard today driving home that I think it was Jim Rome on one of his CBS Sports Minutes actually said that the Yankees were going to retire Jeter's number this Sunday at the game. And you know what, folks? I don't know how I sit with that one. I have to tell you, if it's me, I think it's inevitable. I think it's right. I'm all for it. But I don't know if I want to see any active player with the number retired. To me, that's you retire, you take a year away from the game, you come back to the stadium, they try you out there, they throw a couple videos on the board, and they retire your number. I got an issue with them retiring it during the season. You're still in the middle of a pennant race. You know, I understand the whole ceremony, but I just think that's one step too much. So that's just my humble opinion, and I know it doesn't mean much. But, you know, I got to give it to you because that's what I do here. I give you my opinion every week. So I got a couple calls on the board. I'm going to take one right now. It looks like my dad's on the phone. Hey, Dad, you out there? Hello, call, you there? Hold on.
Did you hear me?
Hey, Dad, you there?
Yeah, I'm here. You hear me?
Yeah, I got you now. What's up, Pop?
I have to agree with what you said, especially about Jeter. The Yankees, it's very hard to sit here and root for the Yankees because all the things that they're interested in is selling tickets to a ballpark. They're not interested in nothing. There's no tradition anymore. There's nothing. They would put the cleaning guy up there and retire his pants if they thought that they could sell extra tickets. They just made a mockery of the New York Yankees, the pride of everybody that played for them.
Yeah, I thought they did a great job last year with Rivera. They waited till the last weekend of the season, you know, and they gave him his due, and I was fine with it. But to do it now, you're still in the middle of a pennant race, and, you know, 3 weeks before the season's over, you're trotting him out there, and you're retiring his jersey. Maybe it's just, to me, again, cheapens the brand of who the Yankees are.
Yeah, I agree with you. And it just makes a mockery of everything else. One thing the Yankees always had was pride, and they just took it away. I'm surprised Steinbrenner ain't having a day for him so he can retire himself, because that's what it looks like. I mean, every time you turn around, I mean, I got nothing against Paul O'Neill. I got nothing against Billy Martin. And we could sit here for a half hour and talk about, and none of them deserve to be in the same area with who's out there. Move Root, Mantle, DiMaggio, Gehrig, those are just, they're like godlike. And you don't put Paul O'Neill, you don't put Bernie Williams, you don't put none of them in there. They just don't belong there. You want to put them in right field, left field, put them in the bleachers, that's fine. That's the way I feel.
I agree. I said it last week. I think we all talked about it a little bit, and I agree. I think, again, it cheapens what you did, and I just think to do this in the middle of the season is just, to me, a little out of line. And, you know, you want to have the ceremony, I'm all for it. Last weekend of the home season, Saturday, Sunday, you trot him out there, you say your goodbyes, let the fans wave to him. I have no problem with it. But to retire his jersey, and just, you know, that's, that, you know, to me, let the season play out. I mean, he's going to be a retired jersey on his back in center field, let him run around on the field. Just, it doesn't sit well with me, and I wish that they would just wait a few extra weeks and do it the right way.
Oh, I agree, and I heard one of your callers saying, well, you know, the Yankees won because they had great. Well, if you're going to put Paul O'Neill up there and you're going to put Bernie Williams up there and whoever else for Guidry and them, then tell me where's Hank Bauer. Tell me where's Bauer, where's Moose Cowan, Bobby Richardson, Cleet Boyer, Jake Gibbs. Hector Lopez, they all won all the championships too, so they should be out there in center field too if you're going to just put who won a championship.
But the kids nowadays aren't going to come out to see Hank Bauer Day. I agree with you wholeheartedly. And as good as those guys were, they don't deserve to be out there either. But they're doing it now, so this is just to get people to come out to games that most times they wouldn't have come out to see. So you trot Paul O'Neill out, you give him a plaque, and you put 45,000 people in the stands where you would have had 25,000. That's all it's about, and that's why I think it's cheapening it, and they need to stop it, and stop. I don't think there should be another ceremony for a very, very long time.
Well, that if you listen to one, Whitey Ford said it at one of the ceremonies when I forgot who they were retiring, and he said, enough with the plaques. We have enough of them now. You're just cheapening it now. It doesn't mean anything no more.
I agree wholeheartedly. I guarantee in the near future you're going to have Posada. There's going to be a couple more. I guarantee it.
Well, I agree with you. All right, Tom. Well, have a good night and good luck to you.
Thanks, Dad. Thanks for calling in again. All right, folks. That was my dad calling in. He calls in every week with his topics, and I love what he does. And you get great response from that. I'm going to check a call before I go back to my topic. Call you.
Hello?
You're on the air.
Hello, everybody.
At Mr. Filthy Famous on all the social networks.
Ladies and gentlemen, the world famous and the Staten Island infamous Giuseppe Dante on the line. Giuseppe, how can I help you today? I guess we lost Giuseppe. Maybe he didn't like being booed. I guess he didn't like being booed. All right, so Giuseppe's gone. Let me see if I got anybody else on hold.
What?
Anybody
Hello?
Else out there? Yes,
Hello?
Right here. You're on
Hello?
The air.
Hello?
You're on the air.
How you doing, T?
I'm good. What's your
okay. Oh, he got disconnected. First of all, six-time caller, long-time listener. Good job so far, man. How's it going?
Very good. Very good. We're again, ladies and gentlemen, the world-famous Giuseppe Dante checking in on his weekly rant and rave. And what you got for me today, Giuseppe?
Well, first of all, in honor of week one of the NFL kickoff, so ya thought ya might like to go to the show. All right, now any of you Tom Florio's hard rocking callers out there can give me the name of the band who sang that. Tom Florio himself will email you a Klondike bar. Now, on that note, I want to get to this Wes Welker issue with the 4-game suspension. What do you think it's going to do to affect the offense of Peyton Manning?
I got to be honest with you. I don't think it affects the team very, very little, and I'll tell you why. A, he would probably be out the first week, maybe the second week with the concussion that he's been battling. So there's no guarantee he would play week one anyway. Two, Welker is traditionally out at some point in the season anyway and seems to wear down as the season goes on. So I think in the end it may actually help this team because I think maybe he'll be fresher at the end. And I think with the pickup of Emmanuel Sanders from the Steelers in the offseason, I think they're well-stocked at the receiver position. And I got to be honest with you, I don't think they miss a beat. Especially, they open up in Indy, which is a track meet. Kansas City, Seattle, and then he's back for the Arizona game. Or maybe he's 4 games, he's out. So he'll be back for the Jet game. So I got to be honest with you, I think regardless, they probably be 2-2, 3-1 without him. And I think for his health of the season, I think him missing 4 games early is only going to help him.
Oh, well, I got to concur on that. I forgot about the acquisition of the other receiver. I'm guessing, well, what we need to do is, obviously I have a really great feeling about Peyton not missing a step. He has still got that zip in his arm. He's got top-notch receivers, great offensive line, still getting that ball out there. With Von Miller coming back and the acquisition of Tlaib, they're concentrating on stopping the run to give the safe, you know, obviously without, you know, with Champ Bailey gone and no really speedy cornerbacks left to said, they're going after the run, and I'm hoping with the return of Von Miller, we get some pressure on some of these big guns that are out there that will probably wind up matching the Broncos point for point. Because if we got to go point for point, eventually something's got to give. We need to have a defense that's going to shut every – if we could shut every team down or play to the potential of just giving up two touchdowns to three a game, I think the Broncos are going straight back to the show.
Well, I think they win the division going away. I think they win the division easy. I don't think the acquisition of Tlaib is an upgrade. Don't forget they lost Rogers Cromartie, who I think is the better. I think Tlaib's he's a step below. DeMarcus Ware coming in, I'm not sure. I thought he had lost a step to begin with. I think defensively they might not be as good as they were, but I think offensively they are better than last year. I agree with you, I don't think that Peyton has lost anything off his fastball. And I still think there's enough in the gun to get them to the playoffs. I got to be honest with you, and I'll give my picks later on. I don't see them getting back to the Super Bowl. I definitely think they fall a little short, but
come on, your ass, man. Listen, this guy's not going to miss a step. Let me tell you something. Way too many teams in the AFC that are going to stop Peyton Manning. Granted, our defense is it. But listen, getting there obviously is half the battle anyway. Obviously, with all the big guns we had last year, we kind of crapped the bed on that Super Bowl. I mean, you know, you're talking they really screwed the pooch on that one. But we'll see what happens, you know.
I think they're a team that's built for the regular season. But when you get to the playoffs, you need to be able to control the clock. You need to be able to play defense to stop people. And I'm not sure that they're built to do either at this point. Yes, I think they're probably still the most high-powered offense out there. I think the Packers might be, well, I still think they have the best receiving core in the football. I still think that he's top three in the league as far as quarterbacks go. I just think that they're not built to win when it hit the playoff time. And I think you have to be a different team. And I still think that you have to run the football consistently and to play defense to succeed nowadays, and I'm not sure they can do that. But again, I think you're going to have a great season. I think you're going to be happy the whole way through. You know, and I think it's an upbeat year for your Bronco fans. So if you guys don't know, Giuseppe's a diehard Bronco fan. I'm going to ask him to check in periodically during the year, give me his take on the season and where they're at. And, this is just the first of, I hope, many, and we'll continue to have these conversations.
All right, T-Bone, it's always a pleasure listening to you. Know, you look into them crystal balls of yours, and hopefully we'll get back to the show. On that note, stay frosty, Burgundy.
Take care, Giuseppe, folks. That's Giuseppe Dante checking in on the line. Let's see if we got another caller out there. Caller, you're on the lead. Caller, you're on the air. All right, nobody's there. All right, so now that Giuseppe started my conversation into the world of professional football, might as well just keep going with it. I thought it was an interesting thing this week. Roger Goodell basically issued a mea culpa, a little apology for and kind of changed the ruling on this domestic violence, you know, and I liked it. I believe it's now first infraction is a 6-game suspension, and I think the second infraction is a lifetime ban, which I want to recheck if it's, I'm not sure it's not a year ban. I'm pretty sure it's lifetime, and I think definitely think that's the way to go. I thought the Ray Rice situation was handled wrong. I think he was a rush to judgment. I think yes, you can look at a man's background. You can talk to the all parties involved. But I think at the end of the day, you know, you put your hands on your significant other, whether it's a woman and a man and a woman, two men, two women. Nobody has the right to put their hands on anybody. And I think that should be zero tolerance. There should be zero tolerance for that. And I think the commissioner finally got it right. And I'm glad to see him step back and, you know, change his mind. So I'm glad to see that. And I thought that was the first step. And I noticed also today in the paper, and it was a good natural kind of segue into my season review. They listed about 10 items in the paper today that were interesting storylines, and I'd like to touch on them. And if you guys want to call in about them, we can have a discussion, but I'll give you my opinion on them. The first one was, when will Michael Sam get a game day uniform from the Cowboys? And I got to tell you, folks, I would be surprised if it wasn't fairly quickly. And I'll tell you why. A, I think the Cowboys, their defense is terrible. Their defense has, A, no star power. There's nobody on that defense anymore now that Ware's gone. Then you go, oh, well, I'll watch the game to see so-and-so play. I think that they lost Hatcher. They lost Ware. I think their pass rush is suspect. And I think if for no other reason alone than just for the publicity of getting him on the roster, I think he will be on fairly quickly. Will he help? I don't know. I think a lot of stuff was made about Sam and the three sacks. You know, again, the sacks against second and third string teams. I don't know if the guy's got a lot of ability. He may come out there and be one of those guys who just makes plays. I don't see it, but I do think that with fairly early in the season, definitely before midseason, I think he signed to the practice from the practice squad over to the defense, and I think you will see him in a uniform, and it may be a lot sooner than that. So my opinion on that is I think fairly soon you'll see Michael Sam in a Dallas Cowboy uniform. Same question, Gianni Football. And I think I've been a big proponent. I think he's out there at some point this year. I think that one's a little later. You know, I think it all's predicated on, you know, on the season that Hoyer has. I think Hoyer's first propensity to get hurt may preclude him getting on the field sooner. I don't know. But we'll see how the season goes for that. I do think you'll see him in the football, Giants football on the field this year. I just don't know at what point that is. Let's see. Will the Kaufman Manning era continue to be all or nothing? I have to say the answer to that is no. If it is, I have to say, as a Giant fan, I'm fine with it. If you tell me that Eli Manning is going to have a 12 to 15 year career, he's going to win 3 Super Bowls, and the rest of the time he'll sit out and not play in the playoffs, sign me up for it today. I'll guarantee you that any fan in this league, if you said to them, you're going to have a franchise quarterback with a franchise coach, they're going to stay around for 15 years together, and at the end of it, they're going to have 2 or 3 Super Bowls, I'm guaranteeing you, 99% of you are going to say yes. Because think about it. How many teams have won the Super Bowl, different teams have won the Super Bowl in the last 10 years? You know, you're not many. You know, I mean, I'll give you the list. The last 10 years or so of Super Bowl winners, I have them. Sorry, folks. I got a little ahead of myself, so I'm not. You go back to 38. 2 times for the Pats, the Steelers, the Colts, the Giants, the Steelers, the Saints, the Packers, the Giants, and the Ravens. Not many different teams. So the last 10 years, the Patriots have won it twice. They've been there 4 times. The Steelers have won it twice. I think they were there a third time. The Giants have won it twice. I mean, you know, if you tell me tomorrow that your team has the chance to be in the Super Bowl twice and win it twice in 10 years or 15 years, you signed it on the dotted line. Go ask a Jet fan. Ask the Jet fan right now if they would like to have won the Super Bowl in the last 10 years and that they would miss the playoffs the rest of the time. I'm sorry, that's a moot point. You know, be competitive during the season. Yes, I want the Giants to make the playoffs every year. Yes, that's what I want. I want them in the playoffs every year, and I want to win the Super Bowl every year. Not going to happen. Not going to happen. Injuries, schedules, things get in the way, and I think it's unrealistic. if you tell me tomorrow, if you tell me tomorrow that I can sign up for today that the Giants will make the playoffs only twice in the next 10 years but don't win the Super Bowl both times, I'm signing that in blood, folks. I'm signing it in blood. So I'll tell you now, to me, that's a ridiculous even to even mention. Who cares? But to answer the initial question, I do think they make the playoffs this year. I think the Giants will be better than people expect them to be. I think their defense is possibly a top five defense. That secondary and the linebackers, I think, are going to be among the better of the bunch in the league. The only question I have is, can they rush the passer? If they can mount any sort of a pass rush, that defense will be a top five defense. Guarantee it. I'll guarantee it, folks. That's a damn good secondary out there. And their linebackers, potentially, with McClain, Beeson, and I think they're going to go with Williams to start. That's a good set of linebackers. I just question their defensive line. So I think the Giants make the playoffs this year. Okay, let's see. The Jets and their secondary. Will there be anything left of the Jets' secondary by the end of October? The answer is no. I think they're going to be shredded. The Jets have probably the toughest schedule that I see. They, from weeks 2 to 7, they face Aaron Rivers, Peyton Manning. That's tough. If you had Revis and Cromartie out there, that's still a lot to ask of anybody. But having said that, I think they will be every week scouring the wires. They will be going to arena football games. They might even go see my Junior Farrell play Sunday, Saturday, to see who's out there, because I think that they will get shredded in that secondary. That secondary got shredded last year so bad with Cromartie, with the team that they have out there. I think this year it gets worse, and that gauntlet of second week to seventh week is tough for anybody. I mean, that is relentless. Every week you're facing a top 10 quarterback in this league, and I'm going to say top 5 in a few of those categories. It'll go to play Chicago. That is no joke. Cutler, if he stays healthy, with that receiving core, Marshall, Jeffries, and so on, that is a tough team. And the Packers, Packers are going to be probably my pick to win the Super Bowl this year. I have to say, I'm letting it out of the pack a little early, but I'll give you my picks in a little while. But I'll tell you flat out, folks, the Jets are in trouble. And, yes, I think that their secondary is shredded. And at the very least, their corners have been exchanged more than once. Number 5, can the Seahawks repeat? And my answer is no. I think they've already shown some signs of cracking. I still don't think Russell Wilson's a great quarterback. I think the Seattle won last year. It kind of reminded me of the Jets of a few years ago, where the quarterback didn't get in the way, played well when he needed to, but they ran the ball really well and played great defense. And I think that's the recipe that most teams will live by. And I think, unfortunately, you saw my list I just gave you of all the teams that have won the last few years and how none of them have repeated since the Patriots in 38 and 39. And I just think the Super Bowl hangover gets in the way. Everybody's out there gunning for you. The plays you lose. Marshawn Lynch comes late to camp. There's already a little dissension there. I know getting Harvin back's big, but Harvin hasn't stayed healthy yet. I think they win their division. I think they make the playoffs. I don't think they get past, I don't think they make it to the AFC Championship game. That's my opinion. If you're asking me now, and I'm giving you my opinion on that. Let's take a little break from that. I got a couple calls on the line. Caller, you're on the air.
Tommy, it's Mike.
Mike, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Mike Clapsy checking in on his weekly call. Mike, how you doing today?
Tom, enjoying the show as always. Great job.
Thank you very much, Michael. What's on your mind this week?
Tom, a couple of things, if you don't mind. I love the Big Blue, as you know. But I think they're going to struggle this year, Tom. You really think they got an outside shot at making the playoffs?
I do, Mike. Here's why. If you really look at their division, first off, obviously, I think the Eagles are a step up, for sure. But after that, the rest of the division, they should be able to feast on. I don't think the Redskins are any good, and I certainly don't think the Cowboys are any good. So, you know, your own division a little bit. And their schedule, other than a three-week stretch, is not that difficult. So I think if they can mount any sort of offense, and I think they will run the ball, and I think eventually they will be able to throw it with their defense, I won't say they're going to win the division, but I think they grab a wild card.
Well, let me ask you. I agree with you with the division being weak other than Philadelphia, but the other wild cards, the other two wild cards, there's a lot of good – what do you figure? Seattle, the 49ers, the Cardinals?
Probably they all have to play each other. And all their divisions are very tough. They, you know, if you look at that division, they're all going to beat each other up there, and especially in the North where you got the Packers, the Vikings, the Lions, the Bears, three of those teams, they're going to be feasting on each other every week. You know,
yeah, I
so
think the Lions are going to be much improved.
I think they're all going to be good. So I think my point is that you're not going to have one team that's going to win four or five games in their division this year.
Yeah.
You know, those divisions are going to be all close, and I think they almost are going to knock each other out. I think the Bears are going to be a wild card team. I think my first choice was one of the West teams, either the 49ers or the Seahawks being the other wild card. I have this feeling the Giants are going to sneak in there because of their division. And again, I think all predicated on how they do in their division. If they could steal one game from the Eagles and sweep the other two teams, which I think is possible, I think it gives them a leg up on the rest of the division, and that's why.
Yeah,
just my analysis, Mike. That's all I do here.
No, it makes sense, but their offensive line is horrendous. How did Manning survive the year?
Well, I think that's the big question. Again, it's in my opinion, I think it comes together sooner. I think they're going to run the ball well. I think their schedule in the beginning of the season is not that difficult. I think it's an early stretch, and I don't have it in front of me. I wasn't really handy with it, but their schedule, other than the Lions, is pretty weak. I think they got Washington in there. There's two or three games early that they can win, and then they set themselves up in the middle of their schedule is a little tough. But if they get through that point, 3-3, and I'll actually have it during my Giants segment. I'll break it down. But I really could see them going 9-7, 10-6, and I think that might get them a wild card.
Well, let me ask you this, not to tip your hand, but you don't like Seattle to get to the Super Bowl, the championship game. Because I think them and the Packers are the class of that conference. Do you agree?
I think the Packers are for sure. My problem with the Seahawks is they won it last year. And until somebody does it 2 years in a row, I always got this feeling. And just hear this, Lynch is not happy with money.
Yeah.
I don't think they upgraded their receiver. They lost Tate. And then playing Harvin, who's consistently hurt. I just think it's that Super Bowl hangover. They'll make the playoffs. And I got to tell you the truth. I think that the 49ers step back. With all the problems that they've had, their coach is not happy, can't get an extension. I think that team takes a step backwards. And the Seahawks will win the division. But I guess, like I said, I think they lose early or they lose before the championship game. I'd be surprised if they made the NFC championship game.
Yeah, and as far as the AFC, I don't know what you think. I think if Gronkowski is 75% of himself, New England is tough.
Oh, I think I have, when I come to my segment, I think I have New England going 12-4 this year. I think their heads and tails the best team in that division. And, I think they're better on defense with Revis by himself. He made better. I just don't know if they have enough weapons, especially if Gronk doesn't play. I don't know if they have enough weapons to go deep. I still think there's better teams. I tell you the truth, my sleeper pick for that conference is going to be the Bengals. I got to tell you, that team is stocked. If that quarterback plays well, Mike, they're going to be a tough team to beat. They have as good a receivers as anybody, two good backs, and a top-of-the-line defense. Their problem is their quarterback. If he catches it, I think that's a tough team.
Marvin Lewis is the smartest coach in football, though, without question. 10 years, 11 years, whatever he is, never won a playoff game, still has his job.
Yeah, I agree. I think this may be their year. I want to see a couple of things shake out, but I tell you the truth, I think they're my sleeper pick for that division. I still like the Colts. I think the Colts are primed and ready for a big year, but and they're probably going to want to be in my pick for the distance. I got to be honest with you, I like the Packers and the Colts this year, but I'll break that down a little bit more. But yeah, going back to our original conversation, I think the Giants are better than people think, in my opinion. And I think it really is going to be helped by the fact that the division is not good. It's Eagles and then a step down to them and then a further step down to the other two.
Well, just quickly going back to the Patriots, everybody talks about Revis. The other guy, Browner, is suspended the first four games, and then you have two top-flight cornerbacks with Belichick running that defense. I mean, that's a scary thought.
Absolutely. I think they're much, much improved on defense. Woolfolk's back. I think they're much, much improved on defense. I'm just questioning. I don't know how well the receivers are going to be. And again, if Gronkowski, again, misses a lot of time, I think that hurts significantly. If they can keep him upright, play him inside the 20, I think he's as big a weapon inside the 20 as there is in the league. I don't know if they have enough other than him, and I'm not in love with their backfield. Ridley, Vereen, I'm not in love.
I like those two backs. Those two backs, I agree with you.
Like it, don't love it. Can you hook the wagons to those guys?
If he's not healthy, they got a problem.
Right, but are you hooking the wagons to Vereen and Ridley for the season? Ridley puts the ball on the ground way too much.
That I agree.
He always finds himself in the doghouse. So, I got a lot of questions with that. But, again, you have Tom Brady, you got Belichick, and a good defense. They could surprise a lot of people. Nobody's picking them to win it, including myself.
Going back to Giuseppe's Broncos, just one more thing. I think Tlaib is better than you give him credit for. I agree with you with Ware, but I think Tlaib is a good cover corner.
Good corner?
Did
you put him on the same level as Cromartie?
I don't think I know enough about Cromartie to answer that question. I think Tlaib is a good cornerback, though.
Very good corner. I like he's physical. He plays the run well. I like him a lot. My point to Giuseppe was, I don't think they got better. They may be as good. I think they're a step lower than they were last year. I don't think they're as good as they were last year. But did they get better with Tlaib? You know, if you had kept Cromartie and added Tlaib, you're a much better team.
Yeah.
But by losing Cromartie and picking up Tlaib, it's not a step up. Or to me, it's a shade step down. So that's my only point with that is you got whitewashed last year. You had a lot of problems last year playing defense, and now this year you're not as good. You know, what happens now? I think they're a little short in Denver to win the Super Bowl, to be honest with you. So,
Tom, I'm on the edge of my seat.
Did you catch the press release?
I just caught the tail end. I appreciate the kind words, Tom.
Mike, you got to listen to the show.
I think the show just jumped the shark with that opening, but that's another story. Hey, Tom, enjoy the show.
Before I let you go, give me your take on the Jets this year.
I don't know what to make of a quarterback.
Well,
honestly,
let me ask you this question. Do you think they're better defensively than they were last year?
Yeah, I'm trying not to overreact to the cornerbacks. Everybody's talking on that.
Yeah,
I like their linebackers. I think their defensive line is real good. I think they're going to run the ball. You know, are they going to be able to cover anybody is the question. Can you get to the quarterback?
Well, that is the other question. I know that people are all happy. They say he has a ton of weapons on offense, but, is Eric Decker the number one? Is he a number one quarterback, receiver? I mean, was he a product of last year playing with Peyton Manning, or is he the guy going to now make Geno Smith better?
I think he's a real good two. That being said, he's head and shoulders, light years above anybody I had last year. So,
agree wholeheartedly.
In the right direction.
Again,
and I think
agreed.
I like the tight end too, the rookie.
I wanted the Giants to get him, and I think down the road, I think the kid turns into a good receiver. He's had some issues, and I don't like some of the things he said, but I got to leave it go. I got the Jets probably 5-11 this year, just for the record. So.
Yeah, I guess I see him closer to 500. Obviously, the cornerback thing's a problem. I don't think the quarterback is bad. I think he's going to be a player. So I just like to see how far he comes along. I'm not saying he's going to be a great player, but I think he's going to be a good player.
Okay. And I got one more for you. We talked about it briefly today. What was your take on the top 10 of both teams?
I agree with you. I mean, the Gastineau thing is right on point. I mean, to be a one-dimensional player, you know, forget about the character and the this and the that. I mean, the guy never played the run, ever, as a defensive
runner. Oh, my God.
And, you know, we talked about Deion Sanders a couple of weeks ago. Sanders was, to be that good at something, I think he's a separate issue. You know, was Gastineau that great a pass rusher? He never played the run. That's a big part of the defensive line. You know, just forget the character issues. But
I'm eliminating the character because I'm not a fan of his antics. But as a player, he shouldn't even be in the same conversation.
I agree.
He didn't be on the same page as Joe Klecko, who I think was a tremendous player. You know, it's ridiculous.
You were right on Mark a couple of weeks ago with Klecko as a Hall of Famer. Klecko is a tremendous player. They weren't even in the same category, the two of them. Absolutely not.
You talk about a guy who was a Pro Bowl player at three different positions out of necessity. I mean, the guy was just a fantastic football player. Again, you need to see him play like we did to appreciate him, but in the end, I think the guy has been shortchanged. And again, it's just the list bothers me. Like, you know, I am with the lists.
No, I agree with you. I do disagree with you, though, on a couple of things on the jet list. We've had this conversation in the past. I think Freeman McNeil was a better back than you give him credit for. I think he was a real good back.
I agree with that. I think my problem with Freeman McNeil was that he never finished the season that way. He either got hurt or slowed down. I think he was a tremendous back. I think the first 9 or 10 games of the season, he was as good as anybody playing. But he always seemed to get hurt week 12. He always seemed to slow down week 13. Just was never the same back later in his career. I don't know, maybe he didn't take care of himself.
It's funny,
I think for the list, they have no choice. If you pick a Gastineau, you obviously got nobody else.
Yeah, the Gastineau thing's a joke. I always liked McNeil. You forget how good those Jet teams were. You know, those are good teams. You know, a real good player on that team was Lance Mell. Guy was a tremendous linebacker.
Absolutely. A tremendous. And I think, again, I think there's a bunch of guys on those teams who are good, solid football players. I think that's, you know, they never won anything, and they probably lost a couple dubious games, but good teams. But I think the problem is they were overshadowed by a moron who really was a one-dimensional player, if that. And again,
yeah,
I don't even
trick pony for sure. Yeah,
for really one or two seasons. Other than that,
no,
really
I agree 1,000%. That's why, I agree 1,000%. Not only was he a one-dimensional player, you know, he wasn't that great a one-dimensional player. Other than what,
exactly.
The 1 year, maybe 2 years. The other guy was Revis. I agree with you after 5 years, but to be that good a player, I think he belongs on the list.
Agreed, but I think my point I was trying to make was, is that the best you can offer out as a top 10 player? And you think that you're putting your best players, or maybe should have been higher up on the list? He only played for your team for 5 years. Is there nobody where who played 10 or 20 years or 7 years? I mean, it just bothers me when I look at the list and I see guys on the list and they only played 5 years for your team.
I agree with that, but we always go back to the eye test. So, you know, I agree with what you're saying, but the guy was just such a good player. And, you know, the Giants.
Oh, absolutely.
I agree with your point about having to see guys play is right on mark, especially with football. With baseball, I think it's a different issue. You know, the game.
Correct.
You know, the game hasn't changed that much. The numbers are the numbers. You know, with football, just human beings themselves being bigger, faster, stronger, it's just not the same game. I mean, it's not, you know, it's just not the same game.
No, I think football needs to be categorized by era. You know, you can say he was the best.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there are guys, to me, I don't care if it's next year, 10 years from now, Lawrence Taylor is still a great football player.
I agree.
You know, Jimmy Brown was still a great football player. But when you start talking about those guys from the 30s, like Sammy Baugh and Elroy Crazy Legs Hirsch, those guys couldn't even step on the field with the third stringers today.
Yeah, I agree.
I'm sorry,
1,000%.
Talent, ability-wise, they can't. I mean, they may have been great players in their day, but there's no way in the world that you're telling me that, you know, Billy Kilmer could have survived in today's football. Never could have happened.
Yep. A guy from that era's numbers would have to be just frightening. And the guy I'm thinking about, you're familiar with this guy, Hudson?
Hudson, yeah, I know the name. I can't tell you I know much about him. That would take a call from my dad or your dad or one of those guys probably know much better than we would.
Yeah, I'm just talking about numbers, though. The guy's numbers were staggering. I saw, like, a documentary on the guy. You know,
oh, really?
Like, Sammy, boy, how many times did he throw the football? Elwood,
right.
How many times did he actually catch a football, you know?
Right. Again, great plays for the time, and they might have been, lights-out athletes over some of the guys who were playing then, but to put them in a top 50 list with guys like, and again, it irks the crap out of me that Walter Payton's not given more due than he has, but to give them, give some of these guys their due over players like that who were tremendous athletes and tremendous all-around football players bothers me to no end.
Where was Walter Payton on the top 50 list?
He was number 9.
Yeah, see, to me, he's top 3 or 4.
I
mean, that guy, just a tremendous football player. Yeah.
I mean, again, not terrible plays in front of him. Hudson, Sammy Baugh, Butkus, Taylor, Unitas, Rice. But to me, Joe Montana was a great quarterback. But he wasn't a great, it's different. To me, he's down on the list. He's top 10, but not top 2. That's, to me, Jimmy Brown, Taylor, Jerry Rice, Walter Payton.
You
can put anybody you want after that.
Yeah, I would agree with that, absolutely.
Yeah, so I say if you're going to have a list, make it right. Otherwise, but this list goes back to 1999. So I'm hoping they're going to have this new list. And I'm hoping the new list is better than this one.
What do you mean
it
goes back to 1999? That's when the list was made?
Yeah, that list was done in 1999. I didn't know it myself. I told you about that.
So many have come and gone since then.
Right, so now they have this whole blue ribbon panel that's going to do another top 50, and I want to see what comes out of that. So
I'm assuming you're on the list, Tom. You're on the panel.
I better be on the panel. I'm going to have to say because... If we're going to do it, let's do it right. If we're going to do it right. So, I don't know. But I know that you're another big list guy, and I figured I'd steal you for a moment. We talk about it a little bit. So, there you go. So, what else you think, Mike? Anything else on your plate?
I want to hear the rest of the show. I'm waiting with bated breath, Tom.
Mike, you might be the only one out there tonight waiting with bated breath. But thank you for calling
Tom.
In. I appreciate
it,
Mike.
Enjoying it as
up?
Always, Tom. Enjoying
thank
it as always.
Thank you very much. Thanks, Mike.
All right, Tom. Talk to you.
Gentlemen, that was Mike Klopsy checking in. Mike's another guy who calls in every week, and Mike obviously shares a lot of the same viewpoints I do. We do banter on a few things, but for the most part, we have a lot of the same mentality when it comes to these crazy lists. And to me, again, it comes down to guys. I know most people don't care, but I say if you're going to say somebody's the best, you're going to put together a list, put some thought behind it, and give it some genuine thought, because if you don't, then don't bother. It's a waste of time. It becomes a waste of time. Let's see. Is there anything else on that list that I wanted to touch on? Will Darrell Revis be one and done in New England? I'd have to say the answer to that would be yes. I know he makes a lot of money this year and next year. I think Darrell Revis for the next couple of years will bounce around. He'll eventually stick someplace toward the end for a year or two or three as a slot corner when he can't shut down the corner on the outside himself. But I think for the most part, especially if they have any sort of success, I think they'll have to part ways. He just makes too much money. I think it's $12 million this year. I think he's got an option for $15 million next year. So I would say that's going to be out. Let's see. What team is ready to take the next step of the Super Bowl? They say the Colts. I agree. I think the Colts are primed. I still think the Bengals might be my team to pick. But for sure, I'm going to say that I think the Colts are ready to make that next step. As good as team offense as anybody else. Now, factor the quarterbacks who are the best players on each side of the ball. Now, that's an interesting one. And I kind of agree with the list. The best offensive player in the league, and I hate the team, might be Shady McCoy. I'd like to think about that for a few minutes. I know you're eliminating the quarterbacks out of the equation. So he may be... Jamal Charles would be a close second. I think, Bo, if you're going to tell me who the best non-quarterback offensively in the league, as much as I hate him and that team, I think McCoy is that. And they have J.J. Watt on defense, and I can't argue with that a bit. That guy has a motor, that never stops. And if Jadeveon Clowney ever gets the motor that this guy has, that will be a very tough team defensively to play against. So I agree with the list. I could go over to the Cowboy one. The Cowboys have out their playoff tickets in advance. And Peter making a big deal out of it, I don't think that's anything to even bother with. So those are pretty much 10 storylines. If you're out there listening, you want to call in at 347-826-9934. I'd be happy to talk about it. We can talk about any of those issues we have. Again, September 20th at the 5th and Vine on Buell Avenue. Come out to the Lifestyles for the Disabled benefit show being thrown by Rocket Relief, Joe Ganz's organization. Eight of Santa's top bands, including my very own Dante's Inferno. We'll be going around about 7:15. Again, great cause. The place has been redone. It's supposed to be beautiful inside. I don't have any information yet. The folks, they serve food. I'm sure they must. But, again, September 20th, we're going on 7:15. There's a bunch of bands before us, a lot of bands after us. Please, if you can't come out and see us, come see the other bands. It's $20 at the door per person, but it's a great cause, folks. And I would love for you to come out and hear me play with my band. I guarantee you, you'll enjoy yourself, have a good time. And I hope you come out and support the cause. Let's talk about tonight's game a little bit. Tonight's opening day. You got a big game out in Seattle with the Packers and the Seahawks. Just, you know, my thoughts on tonight's game is pretty simple. If the Packers want to win, they're going to turn it into a track meet. They have to take that game and force the Seahawks to throw the ball, force the Seahawks to come out of their shell, make Russell Wilson throw the ball a lot. Again, not a great big quarterback, but when that team plays well, they play great defense, they run the ball well with Lynch, and he throws and he plays safe quarterback. The Packers, for them to win that game, are going to have to get Nelson and Cobb down the field, force that game to be a track meet. I think they come out of there and win it. To be honest with you, I'm gonna pick the Packers tonight. 35-31. Late touchdown, Aaron Rodgers to Jordy Nelson. Packers win. I could be dead wrong, folks. Don't ever bet the mortgage on my. Again, going to get slapped around a little bit this year to Seahawks. Again, we'll see how it plays out. If you're asking me right now, I think that. They're going to be a little off center from where they were last year. The focus is lost. You won the Super Bowl. You know, you wear down. There's a lot of internal issues that happen. And I think that team will, again, make the playoffs, but fall short. I think the Packers win 35-31 tonight in Seattle. Mark it down. Call me up next week and tell me I was right or wrong. Again, folks, I'm not a paid prognosticator. Not my thing, but what the hell. I want to just kick that out there for tonight's game. So hopefully in about, say, you'll get kickoff, and we'll be probably going off the air right about that time. So, all right, so we touched on the storylines. We touched on some of my smaller issues. Let me get out the old pad, and let's start talking about the NFC East. All right, so this year the Giants, let's start with the G-Men. Last year, 7-9 after an 0-6 start. A lot of concerns at the end of last year. Knicks was nowhere to be found. I think there was a lot of issues in that the Hakeem Knicks Giants camp that nobody talked about. He had benched a bit before. I think it was the Dallas game, but I think it was week 12. He didn't play. All of a sudden, he claimed he was hurt, didn't practice, went to get a second opinion. And the next thing you know, he was benched after he said he was completely healthy. I think there's a lot to that issue. Again, after the 0-6 start, came back, finished up 7-3, but a lot of change in the offseason. Excuse me, folks. I gotta just clear up a little bit here. I think that there was a lot of things that I thought that they had grown stagnant on offense, and I thought the change from Gilbride was the right choice. I'm not sold yet. One way or the other, Ben McAdoo and his system, you have no idea whether it's going to work or whether it's not going to work. I have to be honest with you, I have no idea at this point. But, you know, what are our concerns for this year? Can the offense gel? We're still waiting to figure it out. Can Eli Manning figure out this West Coast system, change from the system he's basically grew up on in this league? You know, with all the problems at the offensive line, can they protect Manning? You know, they're still picking plays. They picked up today Adam Snyder from the 49ers. Now, again, you know, Snyder had some good years over with San Francisco. But if somebody else's trash, your treasure, you know, the guy gets released this late, you know, is that telling you something? I don't know. Is he an upgrade over John Jerry or Weston Richburg? But I think Pugh is solid. I think they're going to be good but not great. I think that the system that they're trying to get in is where they're going to run the ball, and the passing game is going to be quick, 3 to 5-step drops, get the ball out of Manny's hand quick. I don't think you'll have to protect him the way they did in years past. I don't think you have that kind of offense anymore where you need to hold the ball for 3-4 seconds to get the ball down the field. So I think that eliminates that problem. But having said that, you still have to run block, and you still have to pass protect and keep him upright. I think it'll happen, but who knows? Big concern I have is, as good as their secondary and linebacker, as I said before, I still believe their pass rush is suspect. I've seen nothing from JPP yet that's going to make me go, oh, he's back. You know, Kiwanuka is a lesser grade Justin Tuck, decent against the run, decent against the pass, not lighting the world on fire. I love DeMontre Moore, how much he plays and how well he plays. I'm not really sure yet. I think they're solid in the middle. But, again, I don't know if they're going to rush the passer this year, folks. Perry Fuel's not a big blitz guy. I think he can be this year a little bit more. I think his linebackers are more athletic. I think they have a better cover secondary. So I think he can gamble a little bit. Will he? I don't know. He hasn't proven to be that guy. He wants to do it with the front four. Years past, when you had Strahan and you had Osiyumanure and you had Tuck and you had some of these other guys, Chris Canty, you know, you were able to put that matchup out there and beat the offensive line, you know, basically one-on-one. I don't think they're good enough to do that now, folks. So I think they're going to have to adapt, and I think that'll be the big thing. I think the other big concern I have for the Giants is their receivers. I still haven't seen a tight end step up. I haven't seen Ruben Randall make that next step in his progression. You know, I always get nervous when it comes to receivers because you worry about giving up on them too soon. I remember when Amani Toomer came out of Michigan, it was at least the first 3, maybe 4 years, and all you heard was, he's a bust of a pick. Amani Toomer's not gonna be the receiver he was in college. And he wound up to have a very, very, very good career. And probably in the middle of his career, years 4 to 7, he was as good as a lot of guys in the league. Probably a second-tier receiver now, but perfect for the Giants. And I think that this kid may be in that kind of mold. I think he still might need another year or two to fully blossom, but I don't know if they can wait that long. I think it was very disappointing not getting Beckham on the field at all this offseason, this training camps and mini camps. And I think he would have been a big, big boost to this receiving corps. I would have felt a lot better. At this point, you're lucky if you get him on the field by week two or three. And at that point, how much is he going to contribute? Won't be in football shape. I think it's a lot to ask at this point. And then after that, I think the best part of the receiving core may be Corey Washington and the unknown what he's going to give you. He seems to be a magnet for touchdowns. Big body. I hope that he becomes the anti-Ramsey's Barden and he gets that down near the goal line. He goes up and gets, he go get the ball for them. They don't they lost Plaxico, they have not been the same team around the goal line. So I'm not calling the receiver core a strength. Right now, I got it listed as a weakness. Some of the strengths are, I think their running backs are solid. I love Jennings. I think it was a great pickup. Williams has been, as advertised coming out of college, you know, straight ahead, not going to try to run around you too often, shoulder down, but can give you the leg and take it back. And Peyton Hillis has been surprisingly good. Again, solid. Maybe he'll get some third down back. I think that running backs are a strength. I don't think it's all world, but I think it's a strength. Secondary linebackers, I think, is the biggest strength for this team. And I think as the year plays out, they will win a handful of games because of their defense. And maybe in spite of their offense. And we maybe go back to some of those 86 games when the defense was so good, but the offense was a little inept. And I think of that for this team. And I think defensively, it's a big, big, big step up. How good that defense is now compared to the last few years. Even though he's hurt, Jeff Schwartz was a big pickup. I love the drafting of Richburg, Beckham. I think they had a pretty good class. But I'd say the two big free agent pickups this year were in the secondary with Roger Cromartie and Walter Thurman. I think those two picks, and Thurman may be the key of all of them. The Giants have not had that guy in the slot corner position to shut people down. They've had to use Antoine Roll, who's played very well there, but it's not a natural slot corner. And I think now with Walter Thurman, if he stays on the field, that's a tough secondary. I think Amukamara is ready to step up to another level, and I think getting him and Roger Cromartie and Thurman on the field with two, I think, a really underrated safety tandem is Stevie Brown and Antoine Roll. Antoine Roll, I think, is a good safety, real good safety. Stevie Brown, if he stays healthy, I will guarantee you he will have 5 or 6 picks this year. That guy's got a nose for the football. Got a caller on the hook. Let's see who's on the air.
Hello.
Oh, you're on the air. Yes, you're on the air.
Can you hear me?
Oh, ladies and gentlemen, we got Big Lou Pico, our sideline correspondent from last week.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, you're on the air, Lou. How you doing?
All right.
What's on your mind, Lou?
Got a question for you.
Go ahead. Shoot away.
Geno Smith, is he going to be approved this year?
Oh, Jeff Tawinski on the line. Sorry, Jeff. Geno Smith. I think Geno Smith will be better this year. I do not think he will lead the Jets to an 8-8 season. I think they have to run the ball, and I think they have to play great defense to help that kid. But if you're going to ask him to lead that team to the playoffs, it's going to be a tough season. I think he's a couple years away from being a very good quarterback.
I was just going to ask you.
But not this year.
Do you think the Jets go quarterback next year if he fails this year?
If he fails this year, I think there'll be a lot of changes next year. I think if he fails this year, that team goes 4-12. I think Rex Ryan's gone. And I think a new coach comes in, and he'll want to bring in his own quarterback.
I think if they don't make the playoffs, I think Rex Ryan is gone.
Oh, absolutely. He would have to go 9-7, 10-6, and get robbed of making the playoffs to stay. If he doesn't make the playoffs,
I agree.
I think at that point he's done.
And now one more question for you, and then I'll let you answer. John Itzik, how many years do you think that they're going to give him before they change? But I think he's been too conservative with free agency.
Well, listen, Jeff, do you think that's him, or do you think that comes down from the owner? Do you think the owner tells him how much he wants to spend, or do you think Itzik's sitting there saying, I'm going to hold on to $21 million in cap space?
Well, I think that he's has a plan, but I don't think that it's working as planned, so to speak. And to not have
I happen to agree with you on that.
Is, you know, a situation. I could see them not spending a lot on one free agent. I could agree with that to a point, because then you're stuck with a big cap hit somewhere down the line. But you need a cornerback, and they don't have one.
I think that was the surprising part of their offseason, was that as bad as their secondary was last year, that they didn't really address it the way they should have. So I think they got caught short. You know, I thought a change was needed, but had they not been able, you know, he was out there for so long that had they not been able to make an acquisition, then I thought they needed to bring him back. And at least he would have been a severe upgrade on what they have right now. As bad as he played last year, he would have been better than what they had out there right now.
Do you think his play dropped because he was the only really good cornerback on that team last year? I mean, let's face it, Dean Milliner was a rookie and hurt and not playing all that well.
I think his weaknesses were showing up last year because the secondary was so bad, and I think that he played, basically put him on every top receiver in the league that they played against and said, go out and cover because, you know, we don't have another way to play defense.
I mean, you know, you got to look at it this way, too. It's been, what, this is the third year now that Revis hasn't played for them, and they've never really replaced Revis.
No. And they had the opportunity, A, to resign Revis, which I didn't think they would, nor did I think they should have, but they had a couple of guys they could have replaced him with, one of them being Dominic Rogers-Cromartie, who had to ultimately sign with the Giants. But I thought that was the big miss that they made this year. They should have overpaid a little bit. He was the best quarter on the market, and they should have went and got him, and they would have been a much, much better team.
They need to get somebody, and even with some of the names that were cut, they only took that guy from the Browns that I don't know much about, but he was a second-round draft choice, right?
Right, but that tells you if it's his second-round draft pick and 2 years later he's cut by his team, it means you haven't played very well. So, you know, teams, don't let those guys go. You know, if you're a top three pick, top four pick, you're usually hanging around for 3-4 years. If you get cut after 2 years and the Browns don't have much else, that tells you something.
Yeah, I hear that, man. You're right.
Yeah, I think they banked on Key Milner.
It'll be an interesting year for New York football all around.
Oh, absolutely. I think it's going to be a tough year. It could be tough for both teams. I'm banking on the Giants being better than people are saying. But, we could be looking at dismal Novembers around here for both teams.
Yeah, I don't even think we're going to have to wait that long.
I agree with you. By mid-October, the Jets could be in big trouble. You know, they have a very tough schedule, and I said it before, I don't know if you heard it, but they were, they had weeks 2-7. They have 5 or 6 of the best quarterbacks in the league, and I think that's, very, very bad for them based on how they're situated right now.
Yeah, well, you know, Rex Ryan thinks he could win games 10-7, 7-3, and I just don't see it. I don't see it happening. They got a good defense, but I still think that defense may be a year or two away from being a real dominant defense because they need more.
Let's put it this way: Can you hold the team to 2 touchdowns a week with that secondary? Even if your front seven's that good, is your secondary good enough to keep teams at 2 touchdowns or less every week?
No, definitely not. Definitely not. That's why I say they're still about 2 years away from actually being able to do that because they need linebackers and they need cornerbacks. And I definitely think that Rex Ryan thinks that he can do it or his defense can do it, but I don't see it happening.
As good as he said they were last year, they finished, I think, either 8th or 9th in the league last year. They weren't even a top 5 defense last year and with Cromartie. And I don't think they're going to be in the top 10 this year the way they're built right now. I'd be very with the teams they have to play and the team that they're fielding, I would think that at the best they would be a middle-of-the-pack defensive team. That it gets to the playoffs.
But I don't think they're going to make the playoffs myself, to be honest with you.
I think it's a struggle to be 8-8 this year.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, but this question, if he goes 8-8 again this year, misses the playoffs, is he still around next year?
They can't keep him around again next year after that. That can't happen.
Do you think 8-8 is an accomplishment this year based on the team that they're fielding, a second-year quarterback, no secondary, questionable receivers? If he'd made it to 8-8, would you think normally that would be a decent season for a team built as badly as they are built right now?
No, I don't think so, because I think they should try to improve, regardless of what your record is, they should try to improve every year. And their receivers, as questionable as they are still better than they were last year. And if he's actually getting better with a better running game, they're not going to be a formidable offense, but they're definitely not going to be a pushover. But I don't see them lighting it up every week, definitely not. But I think
that realistic is
8-8. Anywhere from 7-9 to 9-7 is realistic for them. That's what I think.
Okay. Really? That's a very interesting. I think that's most people have them 500 or much. I've seen probably three different and fairly astute football people have them at 4-12, 5-11. So I think if they had a 9-7 season, I think they would be. I think they'd be ecstatic.
Yeah, but
to be honest with you,
to me, Jet fans for how many years, and you know that.
Yep.
They got to get better quick. They really do. They got to do something. It's been too long.
I think for him to keep his job and have a successful season, they have to make the playoffs. They can't fall just short. They have to. I just think they're not even going to win their division. They're not good enough to win their division yet. I mean, short of Brady falling down and breaking a leg, I think they don't win their division. And I there's too many other good teams out there. I think there's going to be teams like the Chargers and the Bengals struggling to win their division who are going to be better teams and probably have a better chance at the wild card. So I think this is a last year for Rex Ryan, but that's an opinion.
The next team to win the AFC East is going to be the Dolphins, I believe.
I tell you what, I don't disagree with that. I think that team's an up-and-coming team, and I think if that quarterback ever catches it, I think that's going to be a very good team. I agree with you.
Because Buffalo ain't going to do nothing. I don't see that.
Buffalo's still a ways away. I think Buffalo's in the same position as the Jets. They have a quarterback who may be good and a couple of receivers who may be good, but they're not ready to be good yet. I think the better team is the Dolphins, and I think if they got past all that bullshit from last year, I think that team will probably be second place in the division. Maybe no better than 8-8 or 9-7, but I think they'll be second place in that division.
Well, let me ask you this, and then I'll let you go because I actually got to go myself. I just wanted to stop by and say hello as it is. Do you think that Buffalo is a better team than the Jets?
Oh boy, that's a tough one.
I think the Jets are better than Buffalo.
Yeah, I'd have to say I think the only problem I have with them, I'd have to say the Jets should be a better team than Buffalo this year. I do. I don't think their running game is very good. I think their quarterback is okay. I think they've got a great receiver, Sammy Watkins, rookie, but I think he's still a couple of years away from being a star. So yeah, I think the Jets finished third with Buffalo trailing close behind.
I don't like that quarterback they got, Manuel.
No, Manuel is an average quarterback at best right now, and I agree with you. I agree.
I don't think he's going to progress at all.
Yeah, it's hard to say, but I agree. I haven't seen that. You want to see those signs that they're moving forward, and I haven't seen it for him anymore or Geno Smith, but I think it's, we'll see early in the season what both those guys can do.
I hear you, man. I hear you. All right, well, listen, I guess I will see you on the 20th, my friend.
Yes, I'm looking forward to it. I'll stay around to see you guys play. I'm looking forward to it. You heard about the venue change, I'm assuming, right?
Yes, I have, and I'll make sure that I'm there for when you guys go on.
Thank you very much. Yeah, we're looking forward to it. And, you know, my best to you and the family and everybody else. And if I don't talk to you before, I'll certainly see you that night.
All right, dude. Be good. I'll see you soon,
all right,
man.
Jeff,
all right,
thanks for calling in. You got it,
later,
brother. You got it, brother.
Bye.
All right. All right. Well, Jeff Tuwinski checking in, giving me his take on the Jets. I'll tell you, folks, down to the last half hour. I was hoping tonight to get to a lot more than what I've gotten to, so I want to speed it up a little bit now. We'll finish it up with the Giants. So, again, key pickups are Schwartz, Jennings, DRC, and Dervin. I'm going to say key losses, even though they really – sometimes it's an addition by subtraction. Justin Tuck, great Giant, or I'm going to say good Giant. We'll go to the Ring of Honor someday. Big part of two Super Bowl wins. But I had a big problem with Justin Tuck, and I've said it earlier year. You know, there were a few years when Justin Tuck needed to be motivated to play, wishy-washy. I have to tell you, in the end, I was glad that he left. I just thought he was, you know, he played well last year. Yeah, contract season. You know, the couple years before that, go check Justin Tuck's stats, his quotes. He hung around, realized it was his contract year, and he had a pretty good season. Let's see what happens this year. If he goes out there and gets 10 sacks or better, I will be shocked. I will be shocked. I think the two bigger ones that hurt, that though, you know, even though losing Keem Nix, they could always, I think Keem Nix needed to be traded or needed to be let go. But Sneed and Deal hurt. Obviously, both are a little older and hurt, needed to retire. So I'm going to say that in the end, those were the two big losses for the season that I saw. All right, so we'll move on to the division. We're going to give you a quick look over this, through this real quick, folks, because I got so much more to get to. Eagles last year, 10-6. I think this year the Eagles are as good or better. So it's a 10-6, 11-5 season. They're class in their division, which is not saying much. They're probably the best offense in the league, with probably top five player in the league in LeSean McCoy. I think Foles is a... Not a, he is a strength, but could be a weakness. I want to see him do, and if he does half what he did last year, I mean, folks, 27, I think it was 2017, he's two INTs. I mean, if he had a 22-10 season, it's still a great year. I don't think he's ever. If he plays as well as he did last year, their offensive line is a strength. I think that team could be 11 wins, tough conference. I think they, you know, you always slip up a little bit. I think that's a big. I think Malcolm Jenkins was a big pickup for them. I think they need to improve on their sacks from last year. They only had 37. I think D'Amico Ryans and Kendricks. I think that's a strength for that team. They did give up a lot of yards through the air. I believe they averaged about 299.5 yards a game given up. Again, a product of that could be, you know, that their offense moved so fast and threw the ball so often that the teams were constantly playing catch up. So maybe that's a little bit misleading. But even with that, you still can't be dead last in the league or close to dead last in the league and expect to win the Super Bowl. So I think that's big. And I'd like to see them have a little bit more of a true pass rush. I want to see if they have that one guy who's going to come off the edge or through the middle and disrupt the other team's quarterback. So I still think they're the class of the division. I still think they win the division by probably two games. Like I said, I think my Giants are 9-7. I think they could be an 11-5 team. More than that, I don't think so. I still think that they're not as good as some of the other teams, but we'll try to hit some of that as we go. Cowboys, 8-8 last year. I think the Cowboys take a major step back. I will be surprised if they win six games. I have them at 6-10, but I'll be surprised if they win six games this year. Is Romo still a strength team? I don't know anymore. Two back surgeries, 2 years in a row. Before the snap, the guy is bright quarterback. You can tell he knows the game. The minute that ball is snapped, something gets up in there, and it's like, no, I don't know what to do now. And he'll make throws, and you think back to the Denver game last year, he just has that one breakdown in the game sometimes, but always when it means something. You know, you go back to the early, the Parcells years when he fumbled the snap on the kick to tie the game. There always seems to be a mental breakdown with him at that critical point in the game. So I'm going to, so I still list him as a strength, but I'm not sure he is. The Dez Bryant, Witten, the receiving core, I still think is a big strength for that team. The question I have is Romo. I go back to Romo. But their offensive line potentially could be the best in the league, not just in the division, in the league. They've really shored that up. I think the kid Fredrickson, I'm just escaping me now, the center, who everybody questioned, turned into a hell of a ball player. And I think that offensive line may turn out to be the best in the league. But I think their weaknesses far exceed their strengths. And when I say that is their running game, while DeMarco Murray's a good back, he's it, and he's always hurt. So while I say could be a strength, it's a weakness because they just don't have enough. They don't have enough fire to make that a strength. I think their biggest weakness is their head coach. Jason Garrett may be a smart football player, maybe a smart head coach. He's a puppet, and he's in that spot because there aren't many other coaches in this league who are going to let the owner dictate his game. And I think that's exactly. You can't tell me 3 years in a row you're 8-8, you're Jerry Jones, and you're not going out there to find Nick Saban or one of these premier college coaches, or even try to steal away some coach that's out there. And again, I'd have to think about it if you mentioned who's a guy on somebody's staff that you'd want to have, but to keep Jason Garrett really, really makes no sense. Other than he is a coach's puppet. But in the end, they took away his play calling duties last year. They gave it to Callahan. And then this year, they take it away from Callahan and they give it to another guy. I think it's Linehan. What's Jason Garrett doing? So to me, that is Scott Linehan is the guy, formerly the Lions. That coaching situation there is a problem, and I think that's your biggest weakness on that team. I mean, losing Hatcher and Ware were their big losses, but I tell you the truth, the bigger loss on that team was Lee. If Sean Lee could ever stay healthy, he's a top 3-4 linebacker in the league. I mean, the guy is sideline to sideline, ferocious tackler, kills the Giants, kills everybody, but he's out for the season. Immediately makes that the worst defense, in my opinion, that might be the worst defense in the NFC. I haven't looked at it enough to say if it's in the NFL, but I'm going to tell you that may be, they have no pass rush, no Lee, their secondary is questionable. If they score points, which I'm not sure they can, they certainly can't stop anybody. If the Redskins weren't so bad, I would think they're the worst team in that division, but moving on to the Redskins. They were 3-13 last year. They may be back. Picking up. Sean Jackson. He will win you something. Garcon, I love Alfred Morris. I think he's a tremendous back. I still don't know if RG3 starts and finishes the season. I think Cousins may be the better quarterback of the two, especially in a system that Jay Gruden is going to run. I like their rookie tight end. I think his name is Reed. I just don't like Griffin as a dropback quarterback, and that's what they're going to try to make him. And when you watch Griffin as a dropback quarterback, his mechanics are bad. His instinct is he hasn't turned himself into a progression quarterback, a read progression quarterback. He stole one read and run. And at some point, if you can't read three reads across and then run, you're not going to survive in the NFL. And he's already proven to be, to have a bad wheel. So I think at this point, if I am the Redskins with any sort of a future, I know you got to play RG3, the hype, Heisman, tremendous first year until he got hurt. I don't think as a dropback quarterback he will do well. So I got the Eagles, the Giants, unfortunately the Cowboys, and then the Skins. I think that's how that division plays out. The rest of the NFC, we're going to go grab it now. It's about 25 minutes left. I want to try to get to everybody. The rest of the way, the NFC North, I got the Packers, Bears, Lions, and Vikings. I think the Packers are maybe the best team in the sport, especially the NFC. The Bears are an interesting team. They have a great secondary. They're phenomenal at taking the ball away from people. I love their back, Matt Forte. And they might have right in the top five of quarterback receiving the cores of the league. Cutler staying healthy is an issue. But Marshall and Jeffries, that's great. With Forte, Martellus Bennett is underrated as a tight end. That's a good team. I think the Packers are just poised. I love Eddie Lacy. I like their defense. I don't love it, but I like it enough. I think they sneak out of that division and they're only in the Super Bowl. That's, again, that Packers are my pick this year, folks. We'll see how it plays out. In the South, I got Atlanta. I think Atlanta's poised. I think they have to win this year. I think if they don't, it's time to break the team up. I think the coach goes and you're changing the whole philosophy. So I think they're going to find a way. That's a good receiving core with a good team. I don't know if they run the ball real well. That's an issue for me. The Saints are the Saints. I think the Saints are one and done. I got to tell you the truth, folks. I'm always clouded over by the Saints because I hate them. I hate their coach. I hate their quarterback. So I'm a little clouded in my judgment. But I think they're the second-best team in the division. I'm going to go Saints, then Tampa, and then the Panthers. The Panthers, to me, I think Newton should have been and should be ahead of his progression, and he's not. I still think they're struggling to find people who can catch the ball. I think they're a good defense. We'll see how that plays out. In the West, I still have Seattle, 49ers. The 49ers take a step back. I think they have too many off-the-field issues. Colin Kaepernick, even though he's found innocent, you know, Smith, 9-game suspension. The other lineman has a domestic violence problem. I think the 49ers take a step back. I tell you the truth, my team, I wanted to pick in that division, was going to be the Rams, but I think defensively, that might be the best front four in football, would have been, or is. I think my problem is, like Todd, I think Todd Ricker brought it up last week, they weren't prepared and with a backup quarterback, and they're still not. So, in the end, I think Arizona's still the better team. So I got Seattle, 49ers, Arizona, and the Rams. So my four winners in that league are the Eagles, the Packers, the Falcons, and the Seahawks. My wild cards are going to be the Bears and the Giants. I'm going to pick the Bears and the Packers, and I could be a little off on that one, folks, for the AFC Championship game, and the Packers going ahead and winning that conference. So we're going to touch a little bit on the AFC. Let's go back to the Jets now. We're going to do the Jets. And again, folks, we're running a little long this week with all the calls. Just go to the Jets. We did a lot of the Jets so far with Jeff calling in and my conversation with Mike. So we're going to just touch on their strengths. The defensive line front seven is a strength. They get a little older than the linebacker core, you know, but I still think it's a strength at this point. And their front four is as good as anybody, if not better. I question their offensive line being a strength, and I think it's not, but I'm going to list it as a strength until I see differently. You know, Mangold, the Brickishaw Ferguson, Giacomini, I think it's a good offensive line. I want to see open some holes for Chris Johnson with Johnson and Chris Ivory Blau is another strength. But I want to see that offensive line open holes up for those guys. I still don't think any of those guys have 1,200-yard seasons. But I think as a three-headed monster, I think they'll do a good enough job. Provided that the offensive line gives them a little bit of room. I think the secondary is a weakness. We've talked about it tonight already. I don't think we need to discuss any further. I still think the receivers are a weakness. I haven't seen enough on the tight end to tell me that he's a strength. I think their second receiver should be Decker, but he's their first receiver. Who's your second receiver? Is it Nelson? Is it going to be Jeremy Curley? I think it's a step down for most other teams. Not to be a strength. That's a weakness. And I think their coaching staff's a weakness. I do not think that the Jets have a top-tier coaching staff. Everybody, Marty Wayne and his system. Well, how many Super Bowls has Marty Wayne's system won? Rex Ryan is a good defensive coordinator and is a bad head coach. And I think he's proven that he has lost the vision of this team on more than one occasion. And I think that is a weakness for that team, and I think it will not be overcome. Losing Cromartie was a big loss. I thought the bigger loss was Patterson, because they so were counting on him at this late stage, and that to lose him over whatever that situation was a huge blow. I don't think it was a great throw. Don't get me wrong, folks. I don't think Mitchell Patterson was an all-world corner. But to lose him at that point, after basically banking your offseason on him and going into the beginning season with him and Milner, I think losing Patterson was huge. And I guess the three ads, Johnson, Amaro, and Eric Decker, they had a good offseason, I thought. I thought their draft was okay. Again, Johnson was a big pickup. I think he was a severe upgrade, even though I don't think he has a lot left in the tank. Amaro was a good pick, and I thought Decker was a good pick for them. I would like to see them get a franchise receiver. You know, had they been able to get a top line receiver, Decker would be a very good number two. So I got the Jets finish through a 5-11 season. So I'm gonna go to Patriots 12-4 last year. I think it's basically a little bit more the same. Their strength will start and end with their head coach and their quarterback. Well, those two guys are there. I think they always got a chance. I think they've upgraded the secondary. I mean, it's automatically upgraded. You got Revis. You get Revis, you put him on the other team's best player, and that guy is basically gone. And it allows everybody else to play a smaller patch of grass out there. And I think at the end, their secondary will be better for having him. Even though I think he doesn't last more than a year, I think he wears on you and he's too costs too much money. Let's see. And I said, and again, I think that the big question on that team is Gronk. If he stays healthy, I think that's a tough team. So, as far as the rest of the division, I think Miami, can they come back from the tough season they had last year? I mean, you know, could more have been made out of a lesser situation? Do we really think that that's the only team that people called themselves or each other the N-word or made somebody go buy donuts or the rookie had to carry the bags? I mean, do we really think that that's the only thing that happens on? I mean, I thought that whole thing was severely overplayed by a guy who was a marginal football player, probably half a lunatic, and I feel bad for guys like Richie Incognito and John Jerry, who, you know what, guys? That's football players. That's the sports mentality. I've been in enough locker rooms in my life where there's stuff that you would say to each other there that you would never say outside those doors. There are things you call each other, say about each other, say about your families that you would never do outside. When you hit that football field, you'll take a bullet. And I think, can they recover from that? I think their receiving corps is good. They picked up No'Shawn Moreno. Can he stay healthy? Question of their defense. Spike their receiving core. I think the Dolphins are the second best team in that division. The Bills love Sammy Watkins pick up. Thought it was a great move. Don't know if they have much else. Their running backs. I like them. I don't know if it's enough. I think the Jets are an 6-10 team. I think the Bills are probably 5-11, 6-10. They could be as bad as 4-12. They have a very rough schedule also. you know, how fast does E.J. Manuel progress? And how fast does Watkins progress tells the whole story of that division. So we're going to go through again. We'll try to go through this quick, folks. I apologize, but as usual, with all the calls, we're running a little behind. So let me get my AFC picks. And again, I hope you jot all this down so you can call me up at some point. I'm going to hold on to this. And at some point, I will go back and tell you how I've done so far. AFC East, I got the Pats, Dolphins, Bills, or Jets. I could go either way. So I'm going to put those two teams tied. Bills and the Browns. I think the Browns are a couple years. The running backs, knuckleheads. I think the Steelers. I think the Ravens are questionable. I think the Bengals are the best team in that division if their quarterback plays like it. If he doesn't, I could be way off. But I think that kid is ready to step up, and he's got as good as receiving corps as they go out there. He got two good backs. I think that team's poised. South, Colts, Texans, Titans, and Jags. I mean, the Texans jumped over the Titans because they picked up Mallett. I'm not sure what Ryan Mallett is. I don't think anybody knows for sure. But he's come over there now, having played for Bill O'Brien in the past. He knows the system. I think the guy's got a cannon of an arm, makes every throw. I think he's stiff. I don't think he's moving in the pocket. He goes back to your prototype drop-back quarterbacks. But at this point, I think they become the second-best team. I think the Colts are head and shoulders in that division, the best team. The West, I think the Broncos, again, I told Giuseppe before, I think the Broncos are the class of the division. The Chiefs fall right behind the Chargers and the Raiders. I think the Raiders, for all their pickups, aren't going to be any better than they were last year. I think they fall right. The Chiefs are a funky bunch. I'm not sure yet. Chargers, Rivers, I'm not sold on Rivers. So my division winners are the Pats, the Ravens, the Colts, the Broncos. Let's see. I got the Chiefs. Oh, boy. No, I'm sorry. It's the Pats, the Bengals, the Colts, and the Broncos. I made a mistake there, folks. And the Chiefs and the Ravens are my wild card picks. The safe bet would be the Colts. I'm saying Bengals do it this year. Packers, Bengals, Super Bowl, Packers win it all. I want something different. Give me the Bengals in there. I think the Bengals are ready to do it. It's probably going to be the Colts. I'm probably going to be way off. And Mike Klopp's had it right before. I think the Patriots should not be left out of any conversations when it comes to that. So, let's see. Okay, so we touched on all the divisions. I gave you my picks. Coaches on the hot seat. We talked about this once before, but I'm going to nail it down. Guys who are really seriously, seriously, seriously in trouble this year. Joe Philbin with the Dolphins. With all the problems that they've had, he's got to win this year. Dennis Allen, the Raiders. Raiders could wake up tomorrow morning and make a change. They changed their coaches, and I think he's doomed based on all the money they spent. Mike Pettine at the Browns. The Browns are the most unstable organization beside the Raiders. They changed coaches, owners. I think he's a candidate. Ron Rivera in Carolina, I think he's up in the air. Jason Garrett should be in that list. He probably not. He could probably keep his job at 8-8. I don't know why. I don't know what he's holding on to out there. And there's other guys on the bubble, and a few of them are going to be surprising to you, but I think that Rex Ryan, Mike Smith in Atlanta should be in the hot seat. But I'm going to keep him on the bubble because I think that owner loves him over there. And if he has a good season, I think he'll stay. But if they don't make the playoffs, I think they have to make the playoffs and win a game for him to keep his job. Rex, I think he's gonna go. I think he's got to make the playoffs at the very least. Mike Tomlin, I think, has to do something now. You could hear some grumblings there. Tom Coughlin, I think he's used up all of the Super Bowl goodwill. I think if the Giants ever get out there to another embarrassing season, you know, 5-11, 6-10, 7-9, I'm not even sure 8-8's enough. I think Tom Coughlin has got to win 10 games. Even if 10 games doesn't get you in the playoffs, he's got to have a very good season. Otherwise, you could see a change there. Marvin Lewis has got to win a playoff game this year. Mike Clopsy talked about it before when he said, he may be the smartest man in football because the guy has never won. I think he's got to win this year. They've given him everything. He's got a franchise quarterback. He's got tremendous young receivers, a real good defense. I think Marvin Lewis's got to win. Jim Harbaugh, I think, is a tough one. He's been a successful coach. I think he's a moron. But he's been very successful. I mean, I think it's one Super Bowl appearances, two AFC championship games. Maybe it's one and one. I'm not sure. I'm off the top of my head. But, folks, I think there's been a lot of grumblings. I think he wants an extension. I think his personality grates on people. And I think unless he has a better season, maybe goes to the Super Bowl and wins, I think this could spell the end for him. My opinion. And so that gives you my coach on the hot seat, the bubble. The rest of them, you know, I think Gus Bradley's new, Marone's new, Bill O'Brien. I think all these guys have, you know, Lovie Smith's got to be better than Seattle. So, but all these guys have a couple of years before they have to worry about it. And I think then you got your Belichick, Sean Payton, John Fox, Pete Carroll, McCarthy, Chip Kelly, Andy Reid, Fisher, Pagano. Until they sign the papers of their resignations, those guys have jobs for a very long time. So I don't think there's any issues there. So, you know, phone lines are empty. Oh, no, I think we got a caller on the line. Let's take a call. Caller, you're on the air. You're on the air.
Hello?
Yes, Giuseppe from San Diego.
How are you, T-Bone?
Very good, sir. Very good. What can I help you with the second time?
I just wanted to call to say goodnight.
I'll say thank you. We appreciate you checking in to say goodnight.
Hey, no problem.
So now that you've ruined the momentum of the show, would you like us to sing you a lullaby? Would you like us to get you a glass of milk? What can we do to help you get to sleep tonight?
A warm glass of milk and listening to that soft voice of yours. Just lulls me into caramel land, man. You have a good evening, T-Bone.
Thank you very much for calling back, Giuseppe. Have a good night. I don't know, folks. We get them all. We get knuckleheads. Giuseppe's a devoted caller, so we had to put up with the shenanigans, but we love him anyway. So I think that brings us to wraps us up on the football talk for this week, folks. Like I said, I'm saving all my picks. I want to see how I do. I hope... as the weeks go on, we'll get you guys checking in every week, and you guys can talk about your teams. And you know, I think this is the fun part of the year for a sports fan. You know, I think now, you know, it's amazing how fantasy football has really brought to light the game of football even more. I mean, there's my son, my stepdaughter, both my sons, for that fact. Now Chris is even involved. They're all in fantasy leagues. They know the players, they know the teams, they know what kind of offenses they run because they're out there drafting players and they want to know. And I think it's hurting the game in the sense that they're changing the rules to fit it. I think it's tremendous that now all these young kids who don't play, don't watch, or didn't watch like we did when we were kids, and again, we didn't have a choice. You know, there wasn't anything else to do on a Sunday. You know, there was nothing on TV, you had four channels. You know, you were outside playing ball or you were inside watching it. Nowadays, with all the different options these kids have, I think fantasy football is a tremendous thing for the game. And I think it's definitely opened up the game of football to a whole different age bracket. And even the gender. I think more women are involved in the fantasy sports. I think it's opened the game up even more. So, I want to say this. As much as I hate the penalties and the ticky-tack rules and how they cheapened the game up a little bit, I think in the end, fantasy football has broadened the horizon of the NFL landscape. And I think it will continue to grow and be a bigger and bigger sport every year. And, you know, the NFL does a great job marketing themselves. And, I think it's a lot of fun. So if you're out there and you don't participate in a fantasy football league, do yourself a favor, get involved. It's a lot of fun. All right, folks, we can wrap it up. I want to again remind you guys about the benefit for Lifestyle of the Disabled being held September 20th at Fifth and Vine on Buell. and Richmond Road. Again, the venue has changed from Bootleg Manny's to 5th and Vine or 4th and Vine, whatever they call it, on the Coney Old Rhythm and Brews. So I'm hoping everybody comes out September 20th, supports all the bands, supports the cause, supports me. Get out there and support me. I need you to support me. Come out. I want to pack the place. I want to get out there and I want to see wall-to-wall people. I want the place packed. It's a small place. You can't hit that hard. We get all the bodies in there. We start screaming. We have a good time. Let's show Rock and Relief. We appreciate them doing what they do for everybody. And let's get out there and support the cause. And I would love to look out there and see a bunch of friendly faces. I'm telling you, folks, the lineup's great top to bottom. You know, my band, you're going to get to hear Jim Galicchio play. Jim's phenomenal. I can't tell you more how good Jim can play. And the rest of the band rounded out with Giuseppe and Paulie Shanks and Kevin. I'm telling you, we're going to entertain you. We got a very different set. You know, we got a little bit of rocks, some classic rock, and some metal. I think it's enough for everybody. We're working hard every week. Come out and support us. Come out there. Remember the rest of the bands as well. $20 at the door, folks. Let's see. I got a little bit of metal notes. Let's hit my metal notes before we call it a night. Something that's interesting coming out there, releasing a Randy Castillo documentary. For you guys who don't know, Randy Castillo was the first internationally famous Apache drummer. Played with Ozzy, Motley Crue, Lita Ford, and they've done a documentary on Randy's life, the life, blood, and rhythm of Randy Castillo. And I haven't seen it yet. It has not been put out to the Hard Rock and Sports landscape yet, but it's coming out. I think it's the 16th, and I think you should take a look at that. And let's see what else. Happy Burning and Metal Sludge. You guys, you've heard me talk about Metal Sludge before. It's a tremendous website, tremendous. MetalSludge.tv. I go on every day. Every night I come home from work, I go do my work for the show, and I go to two websites. I go to Eddie Trunk, and I go to Metal Sludge. And they're constantly giving you all the different bands that are putting out new music. You know, I got to listen to the new Mr. Big song. You're going to love it. Mr. Big is putting out good stuff. I told you guys about Accept putting out great stuff. I told you about the Kick song last week. Mr. Big's got stuff coming out again with the original lineup, even though Pat Tropi's sick. I believe it's with Parkinson's. So get out there, support those bands, support those people. But go on Metal Sludge and happy 60th birthday to Metal Sludge. And it's owner, creator, Stevie Rochelle. And I think I got one more caller on the line. Let's see what it's checking in. We got Pete from Staten Island on the line. How you doing, Pete?
How you doing, Tom?
Very good, Pete. What's up? What's on your mind this week?
Not too much. I just, now that your show has become so popular, I just wanted to reach out to all your fan base to let them know that if they need any construction budgeting, that I'm the guy for the job. So please call Peter D'Agostino from RD2 Construction and Demolition. I can budget any job you need done. My telephone number is 718-980-1650. Thanks for listening, Tom.
Hey, Pete, no problem. But next time I want to hear from your assistant. You know, it's great to hear from you, but you know, the true backbone of your organization is your assistant, IPEC. So from now on,
I'll have a call next week for sure, hands down, no
please.
Problem.
It's important. I think for her to get out of the air and get the message out would be huge.
You got it. No problem. You're doing a great job, by the way.
Thanks for calling in, Pete, okay, with your advertisement and your commercials. Thank you very much.
Okay. Good night.
All right, thanks a lot. Good night. That was my boss and dear friend, Peter D'Agostino, checking in. All right, guys, we've got 1 minute left on the air. I want to thank everybody for listening. I know everybody's probably running to the TV to check out the game. Remember, I got the pack winning tonight, 35-31. I had a great time with this. Guys, I apologize for being a little under the weather. Thanks to all my callers, Jeff, Giuseppe twice, even though he's a knucklehead. Mike Clapsy, as always, big contributor. I want to send a wish, a, Best wishes out to my Uncle Bob in the hospital. Uncle Bob, we're thinking about you. We all love you. Get better soon. Get home. Get to listen to the show. To everybody out there who listened, everybody out there who called in, I thank you. I can't thank you enough. I love doing this, and I love having everybody out there. Last 10 seconds. Folks, go watch football. Stay healthy. Keep on rocking. Hard Rockin' Sports. See you next week.